And welcome back to Is That Jazz Radio? Welcome back to Is That Jazz Radio? Thank you for another episode. And my hello, this is Tracy Durham at Is That Jazz Radio, and we have Big Brooklyn on the line. Good afternoon, guys.
Hey, good afternoon. How are you?
Hi, Tracy.
I'm doing fine. Listen, Big Brooklyn has been defined as bringing together rock, jazz, klezmer, I'm hoping I'm pronouncing that right, and groove, and maybe even a little bit of hip-hop based on what I've listened to. So it's very interesting that we have them on the radio and today for an interview. Hello, guys. How are you doing this evening?
Doing great. Doing great.
Doing well.
You can tell I'm a little nervous here. So let's get right into it. You guys have been described as a sound that makes you laugh and sob at the same time. Is that an accurate description?
I would say so. I mean, we play many different styles than kind of just music that flows from our hearts. But certainly some of the songs have, you know, you have that joy and celebration mixed with that underlying, sometimes through the minor and the expression of just yearning and the sadness or that comes in life as well. So the two put together, for me, it kind of makes for a mix that's very real.
Okay, you touched on that, and my next question, you bring together many different genres. What was the inspiration for that?
You know, really, it's I think it's just music that we really love and enjoy listening to, enjoy playing, and, you know, when we started a group, we just said, hey, what's music that we want to play, and it might sound a little cliche, but we didn't really want to be bound by a particular genre because, I mean, you know, there's so much great music across so many different genres. And so we said, hey, let's just one write music that mixes styles. And you know, even as we write music, we have Melody and I have different backgrounds with music and styles. And so we just kind of combined those. And, you know, there might be a song we said, hey, let's kind of do more of a straight ahead jazz type feel, or and then we might say, hey, let's do something a little more funky or something like that. And then Melody had the klezmer background, so I think just combining all that is pretty natural. And then, you know, there might be times where we say, hey, we like this song, let's just cover it and see what it sounds like with, you know, an instrumental group and kind of put a twist on it. So just by, like, I think going with music that we love and enjoy playing. So,
you know, that kind of fits the description of our radio station. We have a subtext where we call our music anti-pigeonhole music and culture. And we try to blend together anybody from Richard Pryor to Sting and Mick Jagger and Coltrane in a one-hour set. And we really challenge our listeners to get out of that mindset that often doesn't allow for music expression to cross between those genres. So it was really interesting researching you guys. Another question I have for you, and thanks for your time, guys. How important do you think it is that we increase the funding for music education as early as maybe elementary school? You know, why would that be important to you guys?
I think that's very important. I mean, I teach music as well, and clarinet and piano, and have students from preschool all the way through high school up through adult ages too. And boy, elementary education of music, they are just like sponges, and they love the music. It's so such a joy to see the kids connect with all different kinds of music. You know, it's not just one style, but based on who they are and their personalities, they connect with all kinds. And so music is just such a huge part of life and even people's natural expression, and it's how it brings out, you know, joy or excitement or relaxation or so many different things in them that I think just increasing the funding and something that's so invaluable is really important at all ages, but especially at those young ages, because it sets a course for them to just love music throughout their lives.
I kind of agree, Melody. And I, before starting the radio station, I was a public school teacher. And one of my classrooms was across from the music room, and all they played was Adele. So when they came to see Mr. D and I was playing Coltrane and Sting, they looked at me like, what are you listening to? And so, you know, it's important that, you know, you get to them at an early age, like you're saying, and because they soak it up. And then, you know, it gives them a listening ear to so many other types of music. I would witness how students' whole aspect on life almost would be shaped by just exposure to the music and the arts. So I appreciate what you guys are doing.
Oh, you too.
You know what, Tracy, too? Another thing is with the younger ages, I mean, I think it could really help unlock something that might be an interest or potentially become a passion for kids. I mean, it's not that everybody that picks up an instrument has to play it and, you know, commit long hours to it. But for some people, you know, if they're not given that opportunity, then how are they going to go down that road? You know, it might be something that they end up really enjoying. And so I think the earlier the better if someone's interested in it.
Yeah, you're correct. But given that and facing the way radio stations are programmed now, how does that present a challenge to get your music out to folks?
Yeah, I think maybe, a couple different ways. I mean, there's probably different opportunities and challenges, like with radios being programmed, maybe like you said, I like the idea of your station that it's, you know, span genres. I think sometimes if a group is between genres, it's tough to fit in somewhere, because if you're not a straight rock band, you know, you can't really fit into some of the rock scene, or if you're not a straight ahead jazz, it's hard to fit into that. So that might be one aspect, you know. And then I think another aspect is just with trying to get to where you can just have a platform to get on. So if there's programming that is more diverse, then I think that lends itself to getting, you know, some airplay and reaching listeners. And so that might be a couple thoughts on that.
Yeah, I love what you guys are doing, though, presenting all different genres within, like you said, within an hour of programming. That's fantastic.
You know, Melody, I went to a place called Subculture in New York to see Esperanza play one time, and it's kind of like off the beaten track. And I think by researching, please help me pronounce this right, klezmer, is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, thank you. Okay. And she brought out what I believe is a klezmer band, and it really took the audience by surprise, and for me it was just astounding. I mean, they had, you know, instruments that I kind of attributed to one culture, the percussions and the congos, but they were really, you know, it was really interesting, and the sound was great. And so, you know, Melody, I spoke to her yesterday, and she gave me some ideas on where to search. And my first instinct was, and I know this is going to sound really like maybe I didn't study hard enough, but it brought me back to a scene from a Humphrey Bogart, Lauren Bacall movie. And when they were dancing, and I think it was, I don't know, it was when he said, at the final scene at the airport, and the music they were playing was somehow similar. But then investigating further, I really found how rich this music is. And so there's a couple of tracks that I would like to ask you about, because to the untrained ear, what I am right now, I was wondering, did I hear these elements when you guys were creating this? One would be Wandering Effect. There was actually a song that we sample in hip-hop in that. So what was your inspiration in creating that song?
Wandering Effect was one that we worked on together, and Eunice and Sherry kind of started with, there's music we were listening to where we had, that had some of the klezmer background, and that's what I love about klezmer, is like you said, there's a richness in the modes and the sounds that gives way to, lends itself to so much expression that you can really go a lot of directions with it, especially as a lot of the minor sounds, but it mixes the minor sounds in with those like joyful and celebration and those other aspects as well. And so that was one that we, I think just from listening to music that Willie started, he was saying, oh, hey, how about this? And he was kind of humming through a melody. And then I picked it up on piano, and then we started putting some chords to it. And so that was one that's just from that came to mind. I think probably just from listening, we had some klezmer and a little bit of other jazz that we had, had in mind, and then just putting the song together. That's what's fun about composing with Willie, is the two of us together, and you put the, like a lot of times he gets kind of the rhythm and the groove and put some of those elements in there, and then the melodies and the harmonies that I like to go with, and together it's fun to see what comes out.
Yeah. So. I think someone that, you know, we've listened to at different points and be influenced by is John Zorn. And he does some really neat music that has kind of an ethnic feel, but it has, like a jazz, like a strong jazz element to it, yet combining this ethnic feel to it, that's really neat. So,
you know, for me right now, I would have to say I'm the untrained ear. When I listened to it, it was like you could immediately tell that someone was trying to express a story. Like it had meaning. And the other track that I easily understood was Gratitude, because that was more jazz based. And what was the inspiration behind the song Gratitude?
That was a tune that I wrote. And it's kind of funny where Melody and I will talk about songs, and sometimes she'll have a specific, a specific story behind something. I have, you know, there might be some songs that I have that have a specific story behind it. And a lot of times for me, I think I'll come up with a song that's just kind of in the moment. I mean, it's very sincere. It's very personal, but it's just more of an undefined expression. It's something that's man, I feel this groove, and I feel this, and I can hear this melody happening at the same time. And I think just coming to some of that kind of inspired that song, and maybe, some of where there's a bass line that's a little bit open and gives some room for some interplay between the band, and then having a bridge section that's a little more straight ahead swing at times. And so, when I step back, sometimes I'll just make a quick name and I'll think about it. I was like, all right, this song's called Gratitude. And, maybe even sometimes song, it might take a little bit of meaning sometimes even after I name it. So sometimes I'm a little bit subjective when I name it, but it's still, I take it very seriously, and it's a little more of just kind of feeling it out as I go with some of that.
In keeping with the process of you guys creating just great music that I'm sure my audience will love, you guys have won several songwriting contests, and one in particular was John Lennon. And for me, John Lennon would settle any argument when my wife and I would get lost in our travels. We'd put John Lennon on, and the car would immediately become peaceful. So what was it like receiving those awards?
We were excited about it. It was something we had put the CD out there and released the CD, and just trying to share the music. We went through a bunch of different avenues, and one was to put some of the songs in the songwriting contest. And so, especially with the John Lennon songwriting contest, we were a finalist in the jazz category. And early on, it's like, should we enter this in the jazz, or should we put it in the world music category too? So we had some discussion about that, but ultimately there's a lot of jazz in our music as well that that we enjoyed. So that was exciting to be able to be a part of that.
You know, moving, I guess, to a little different topic, I found that a number of artists that I've had a chance to interview and some that I've talked to, given the recent, you know, the conditions that we now face in this country, one young lady started a pottering thing. Another young lady created a cooking online brunch. And myself, I created a show called The Broke Vegan. It's like if you can't attend live performances, something happens to your soul. And I can imagine those who actually perform live and not able to get in front of an audience. Streaming is one thing, but that actual audience experience is just something else. How is that what effect has it had on you guys?
Yeah, Tracy, I totally agree with you. And this time of just so many concerts being canceled, that's been a challenge throughout this season. But we really miss going to concerts. We love going to watch live music because there's that energy between the performers and the listeners that is really special. And then the same with having all our concerts canceled that we were planning to play these past 6 months or so too. You just really miss that chance. It's just such a special thing to share with an audience live, and it's wonderful to still have so much recorded music we can access now. But it's not the same as being with other people and sharing the music as it's being made on the spot.
Yeah, and I think we've tried to go back and whether just reference music that we can listen to or participate in live stream events, things like that, mostly as, just like a participant as far as listening to someone else play and trying to support people whenever we can, support mm-hmm. others. And, we've tried to keep rehearsals going as much as we can and just to try to keep things moving along. And then also, make it as a time to be able to do some songwriting and focus on those types of things.
Okay. And the divide that we face now in this country, I haven't watched the news in a couple of weeks, just for my spirit. How has that affected you guys?
I think you're in good company. I know we were watching the news, like, whether couple weeks ago or weeks ago, even on election night, and we're like, okay, let's just tune in. And then after that, it was like, oh, okay, I'm turning this off. And then literally, took a break from some media just because, we just wanted to step back from it. And whether, the political situations or the COVID, I mean, it's just such a crazy time right now. I think all of that plays into a lot of different areas. I think in our personal lives, obviously a lot of conversation. I think the positive side is that it can open up a lot of really meaningful conversations, and it's kind of a stepping stone to talk about meaningful things. But I think also it's those things too, as in artistic expression, we have a way to express and to whether to write music or to play music or to hear that. I think it's also a time to be able to be stirred, to be creative and to make, to be a voice in the midst of this time too. So.
And Melody?
Yeah, oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No, I said Melody, you too. I would like your thoughts, ma'am.
Yes, it is such a time of unrest. I mean, just really, as everybody knows, just so many things going on in our country now, even before the elections and through all that's happening. And it definitely is just, in trying to process some of that, just knowing, like, God is in control and I've even enjoyed listening to music, just in sometimes music with words, sometimes without words, that just keeps you reminded of the bigger picture, even in the midst of so much turmoil that's going on around us.
Our station is located on Market Street in Wilmington, Delaware, where Biden is from. So I literally can't walk out the door without having some reporter from another country asking, what is your opinion? And it's just sometimes I just have to say, hey, I have to keep going. And for me, being exposed to many different genres, like my mom loved classical music and my dad loved jazz and swing, it didn't allow me to become polarized to one side or the other. Like, you know, if you grew up listening to Beast of Burden by Mick Jagger, how could you, you know, how could you just hate where that music comes from? And, you know, it for me, music is a healing process. And that's what I want to ask you guys, too. Going forward, how can music help heal our divided nation?
I think it's a big piece, and really in sharing music, that's definitely a piece of my heart, and that is just that when you share, it's not just, you know, it's not just notes and a melody or that or harmony or something that you're sharing, but I feel like it connects with the heart and the soul in a unique way that crosses all cultural boundaries. In past years, I had opportunity to travel a lot through other countries, and even when I didn't speak the language, even when I was the person I was with, we are very different. We could start playing music, and there was a connection. And so, within our culture, and even outside of our own culture, I feel like it the music does cross the boundaries, and it really does connect with people, often at a deeper level, and that's what makes it. And that's what makes it so valuable when you play. For me, that's when the most joy, when you see that it's meaningful and it brings out, it touches a different part of somebody's heart, you know. And so I think going forward, certainly the types of music, both with lyrics, without lyrics, and both can have a similar effect. You can certainly, certainly bring a different perspective to people. And that's part of what I want to do with, you know, with the music. So.
And Willie?
Yeah, you know, I think that music is a similar, it's a neat way to be able to connect people and to, you know, can help gather people, and you can have people such, like Melody says, from different backgrounds and that can enjoy music together. Or, and even from the musician side, I found it neat, different situations, being able to connect with people that were really pretty different from me, whether it's like, you know, background, economically, you know, location, just being able to get together and play in a group together. And you have this really neat thing that you can share. I think, you know, even broader, you know, there's been some really meaningful things that have happened in music too. I think with, I mean, in the jazz world, I think I was just thinking of, like, it popped in my head when you were asking that question, Tracy, like about, like I thought of John Coltrane and the song Alabama, which is pretty heavy background. I think it was a church burning, you know, and it was an awful, awful thing that happened. And he went and wrote this song Alabama. And I mean, just what a weighty, heavy, like, meaningful song. And you know, in jazz, it was, but it's just, as artists, you get to do stuff like that. You know, you can do something. And that just popped in my mind when you asked that question. I was thinking about that John Coltrane song. So
that song, Alabama, had such a rich meaning in our culture. And the way he began seemed to capture the pain at that time.
Yes.
And it's in heavy rotation on our station. And this might, you guys might find interesting. I was introduced to jazz by his brother. I was dating his brother's daughter, and I walked in with an Earth, Wind, and Fire album saying, this is jazz. And he immediately, like, boy, let's go downstairs. And he had such an album collection. And she eventually left me after the second date because I was more interested in talking to her dad. So,
wow.
You guys, how were you formed? Like, how did the band come together?
I'd say So Willie and I met in music school, and then we've been married for a while, and we both, you know, love music, and just have had it on our hearts to put a group together where we really express, are able just to bring together genres that we love and just play it out and try something different, and not, like you said, not to be bound by kind of genre definitions, but just be able to put together the music that would come from our backgrounds and influences. So it started with the two of us just starting to write songs, and then we've been able to bring some really neat musicians in to play along with us, and that's been one of the really fun things about Big Brooklyn, too, is being able to bring some of these musicians. We have like Luke Sosny, who plays sax, just a phenomenal sax player. When he solos, he just tells a story right through his solo all the time, even love listening to it. And then Joe Asker on the upright bass, just fantastic bass player. And we've had some other musicians, and Aaron Summerfield is really good. He's a jazz guitarist, but he's so, he can play anything, you know, on his instrument. And so all of those together, we just, and we've had some other people that have come and gone as a, these past couple of years or so, but those three are the ones on the album too. And so kind of got started
okay.
with writing a whole bunch of, writing a lot of music, and then and our first gigs were 3-hour gigs, so we had to have enough music written to fill those 3 hours, so it got us off to a jump start, and from there we've just had fun adding and changing and growing as a group too.
And Willie, where did the name Big Brooklyn come from?
Yeah, so I grew up in Connecticut, and there's a quarry there that we used to go swimming at. And in the quarry, they had, you know, different cliffs you can go and jump off. And the biggest cliff there was called Big Brooklyn. And
okay.
So, you know, so it was a common thing. We'd say, hey, let's go down. We're gonna go jump Big Brooklyn today. Let's go. Hey, where are you going? Hey, let's go over to Big Brooklyn. And so it was just a place we hung out. It was a fun. It was, you know, I'd love to go back and see how tall it is. It was pretty big, but it was just kind of like an icon of that time and growing up in that area. And there was a Little Brooklyn too, but Little Brooklyn isn't as catchy of a name, I think. So we went to Big Brooklyn. But yeah, we used to be called, when we started the group, we were called the Watch Hill, and Watch Hill is after a town in Rhode Island. And it was just after a while, people would be like, what is it? Watch what? And so then eventually we said, you know, let's change our name. And we went through this process, and it was a long process. Again, like, it was very deliberate. It wasn't just, you know, we took it serious, but we went through all these names, and we're like, Big Brooklyn, and like, yeah, let's do that. So we landed on it there.
That's really cool. I was wondering where the name came from. Melody, I have a question to you based on your background. I believe you studied classical music at one time. Am I correct?
Yes. Yes,
and
that's right.
My first classical experience was in a barber shop in Camden, where the barber had a gun on his waist, and the magazines were about guns. And I was really Afrocentric at the time, and I challenged him. I was like, why don't you have jazz? He said, well, you've been waiting in that chair for about an hour. Are you nervous? And I was like, oh, he said, well, that's because of the music. And just starting to ask my dad and mom about classical music, it expanded my horizons. So how did classical music, you know, your studies of it, expand or help you understand music?
That's a great story. I'm one of seven kids. When I grew up, there were seven of us, and my parents are not musicians at all, or even listen to a whole lot of music, but just as part of a good education, they said, all right, all seven of you are going to be in piano lessons. And so I started out as piano when I was a young child, and played piano all the way up through school, and picked up the clarinet kind of in sixth grade band was my first starting with that. And so the music that I was drawn to early on was more classical music. And I was probably the only one in my family that liked it. I liked the classical sound. And you're right, certainly, as that Barbara said, it can certainly bring a peaceful mood, depending on the song, to things. And so it really, though, studying classically, first as piano, and then my degree is in clarinet performance, just gave me such a rich foundation of technique and so many, amazing composers all throughout music history and Western history and even before that, that I felt like just gave me a huge palette of technical ability as well as appreciation for sounds all the way from just a small, string quartet through the orchestra and the wind ensembles and all those different sounds. It really opened up so many doors. It was when I first heard klezmer, which was in college, definitely had a connection with it the very first time I heard it. And then with jazz, it opened up a freedom. In classical music, I loved playing it, but it's mostly you play what somebody else has already composed, and which is wonderful and it's beautiful. But when discovering the ability in jazz and in the klezmer as well to just play out more, have so much freedom to play out what you feel and think and hear in the moment, was really fun too, just to be able to venture into that.
You know, Melody, when I began listening to klezmer music, I really found it was a rich foundation to spring to other, to spring to other expressions. So I'm really blessed that I was able to come across you guys and meet you now over the phone and to understand that music, because it's something that really, really sparked my imagination. And Willie, what shaped your musical background?
Yeah, for me, I think going back, way back, grew up in a home, neither of my parents play instruments, but music was always a big part of our home. Like even early on, I remember coming home from school and my mom cranking Prince, like Let's Go Crazy or something on radio. And all sorts of music. We always had music on and sometimes we cranked it and I liked that. And I was kind of drawn to it. And I think just by listening and even when I was young, I started playing drums a little bit, but then it wasn't until I was 15 and I'd been listening to like a lot of classic rock, a lot of Led Zeppelin, stuff like that. And I was like, man, I just got to play the drums. And so my uncle was taking guitar lessons at a music studio and they said, hey, they have a drum teacher there. And I just called them and there I got connected with my first drum teacher. And it was really neat. I feel like he really connected the dots for me because I went from being able to listening to music, which is fantastic. I mean, it's one thing that's amazing about music is you don't have to play, you don't have to know anything about music theory or notes or instruments, and you can still love it and enjoy it. But I think for me, being able to connect with it and be able to start playing, it more really helped connect the dots for me. Because I was, and even like prior to that, I would always I would sit by the radio. Like I love that you have a radio station, Tracy. I mean, that was so big for me growing up. I would sit by the radio, with my boombox and my tape recorder, and I'd wait for like the certain songs to come on or the top 10, and I would record it at night and then go back and listen, like what were those songs. And I think just always like having that inflow of music really influenced. And then once I started playing, and my drum teacher, I remember the day we were playing, playing some different songs. He's like, hey, this song is really cool, but let me show you this. And he showed me Miles Davis' Kind of Blue, which I know is a introductory album for a lot of people, but he's like, listen how deep this is. And he kind of like, we sat and listened together. And I think that was kind of the entry to jazz for me. And, from there, just by exploring and playing and just really enjoying the music, it's just continued to grow it. So
Willie, I wasn't the only one sitting with a cassette tape. I'm showing my age here now, waiting for a song to come on to press the button and run into the room and falling down sometimes. That used to be my hobby, actually, and for me, I just searched the whole dial because, I just loved every expression from an early age. I was never pigeonholed to like rap or rhythm and blues or rock. It was all of it to me. And that's why I found you guys so interesting. What does the future look like for you guys? Like, what kind of projects are you working on now? Like, what can we expect coming from Big Brooklyn?
As Willie said earlier, we've had fun during this period, even though we haven't been able to play live as much, of just writing some new songs. I also have gotten a hold of a bass clarinet. I had a lot of fun just kind of composing some new songs that bring the bass clarinet in, and even doing a little bit with the keyboards. I teach piano as well, so looking towards some of bringing some of the keys in there too. And so it's neat. We've continued to bring, kind of fuse the genres. I mean, from one song to the next, there can be a lot of changes. There's, you know, some cohesion with it being the same group that plays it, but we're hoping to maybe record another album in the next, if we can, which and how things are going with the pandemic and everything, but hoping to be able to record another album, some more songs too.
And you know, we've been, even with the gigs that were canceled, we're hoping we're in the queue for when things start up again, that we can, you know, get back into the spot, you know, that we had. And I will say, anybody that had to cancel with us, they've been so gracious and just very like, hey, you know, when this gets going, let's stay in touch. We want to, you know, get you guys back in here. So it's just been really neat to kind of have these conversations and journey through it with everybody else. But we're looking forward to open up. And I think we're trying to look at those other platforms, like you mentioned, Tracy, like streaming or things like that, that we can continue to keep the music moving forward. But like I said, we have been trying to do rehearsals and, you know, stay safe while we rehearse, but, you know, try to do rehearsals and keep the music happening. So we really want to see what we can do when things start to open up too.
This may be a personal question for me with a motive, actually, that I'll share with you guys later. But, like, when you're on tour, is it a specific part of the country, or do you guys come, you know, like, back here in the Northeast, in New York, Philadelphia, to would that ever be interesting to perform here?
Yeah, that's definitely something we've had on our radar. I'm from the Connecticut, so from the Northeast, and then, you know, we're based out of Colorado, but we just love playing, you know, all sorts of wherever we can. And so right now we've mostly been local to Colorado, but that's something that we're sitting in, is trying to see, you know, what are the other opportunities around the country, and then, you know, Europe, things like that. What does that look like? And we don't have anything planned, but those are things that we talk about and try to think through. So, you know, certainly open interest into that. Yeah.
Well, there's a place called the Durham Library in Philadelphia, named after my father, and we would love to have you there once all this madness is settled. So that was my ulterior motive to get you to commit to that on the air. Thanks, guys. Is there anything that you want our audience to know that my skills as an interviewer have come short in allowing you guys to get that information out there?
No, Tracy, you know, thanks so much for having us. It's just, we've really enjoyed getting to have this time with you, and you're playing a big part in keeping music alive in this time, and I really appreciate you having us. And
absolutely,
you know, it's just a pleasure talking with you. Look forward to doing it again sometime too. Very nice.
Yeah, thanks so much, Tracy. I mean, I love what you do too. I enjoyed checking out, reading through all the things on your website and the radio station, listening in, and I really appreciate what you do. Thanks a lot for bringing.
Oh, cool. You tuned in. That's great, man. Okay. That makes me feel cool. Listen, it was a pleasure and an honor to have you guys on. You can see I'm very informal in the questions that we ask, because we're growing as a station too. And so I appreciate your patience and what may have seemed some uninformed questions. But for me, Melody, I will always give you credit for introducing me to klezmer music. And I absolutely love it, to be honest with you. Man, I really do. So thank you for your time. And guys, you've just listened to Big Brooklyn. And we'll talk soon, guys. Have a great evening.
See you, Tracy. Thanks again.
All right. Thanks, guys. Bye-bye.